Good afternoon, and welcome to the Federated National Holding Company's third quarter 2014 financial results conference call. My name is Andrew, and I will be your operator today. Please note that today's call is being recorded. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will be conducting a question-and-answer session. If you would like to queue up for the question-and-answer session early, you may dial star, then 1 on your touchtone telephone. In the interest of allowing everyone to ask questions today, we request that you limit your question to 1, but you can feel free to rejoin the queue as many times as you'd like. Statements in this conference call that are not historical fact are forward-looking statements. Without limiting the generality of the foregoing, words such as anticipate, believe, budget, contemplate, continue, could, envision, estimate, expect, guidance, indicate, intend, may, might, plan, possibly, potential, predict, probably, pro forma, project, seek, should, target, or will, or the negative thereof, or other variations thereon, and similar words or phrases or comparable terminology are intended to identify forward-looking statements. The matters discussed on this call that are forward-looking statements are based on current management expectations involving risks and uncertainties that may result in these expectations not being realized. Actual events, outcomes, and results may differ materially from what is expressed or forecasted in forward-looking statements made on this call due to numerous risks and uncertainties, including, but not limited to, the risks and uncertainties described in this conference call, our press release issued today, and other filings made by the company with the SEC from time to time. Forward-looking statements made during this presentation speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Federated National Holding Company specifically disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement to reflect new information, future events or circumstances, or otherwise. Now, at this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Michael Braun, Chief Executive Officer and President of Federated National Holding Company. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Federated National Holding Company's third quarter 2014 financial results. I'm joined on the call by Pete Pregelski, our Chief Financial Officer. Our financial results for the quarter can be found in our earnings press release. I will go over some brief highlights from the quarter, and then we will open up the line for questions. Highlights, as compared to the same three-month period last year, except where noted, 120% increase in net income to $7.2 million, 70% increase in Florida homeowner policies to approximately 167,600, 52% increase in gross written premium to $92 million, 43% increase in fully diluted earnings per share, 33% increase in book value to $13.22, those are compared with $9.95 at December 31, 2013. Net income of $7.2 million includes $1.7 million of accrued income resulting from the quota share agreement that became effective July 1, 2014. The income we will ultimately earn under this agreement is contingent upon certain criteria specified within the agreement, and the accrual could be reversed under certain circumstances. We are pleased to report another quarter of growth in net income and policy count. We continue our growth in Florida by writing $41.7 million of voluntary organic new business in our homeowners program in Florida, bringing our year-to-date to approximately $141 million. This organic growth truly reflects the hard work and dedication of our employees and the trust our partner agents have in our organization. During the quarter, we also raised $46 million in capital through a follow-on offering, which enables us to continue our strategy of writing voluntary business in a disciplined and underwriting accretive manner. With that, we are glad to open up the call to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a brief reminder, you can queue up for a question with star then one on your touchtone telephone. And once again, we'd like to ask that you just limit your questions to one at a time, and then you're welcome to rejoin the queue as many times as you wish. If you'd like to remove yourself from the queue at any time, you may press the pound key. Our first question is from the line of Arash Soleimani from KBW. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Arash.
Hey, can you disclose what gross premiums earned were in the quarter, please?
Yeah, $83
million. $83 million, okay, great. And with the profit sharing, can you talk a bit about the accounting for that? Obviously, I know if there is a storm in the future, it kind of would reverse itself, the accrual, but just generally speaking, how does that sort of work? Is there a specific threshold that you're kind of held to, and is it a sliding scale within that threshold?
Before Pete gets into the more specifics, let me say globally, we have not done quota share in the past.
Okay.
However, we had an opportunity with one of our strong reinsurance partners to complete our CAT program, our catastrophe reinsurance program, with quota share versus our traditional excess of loss. This is the first time we've utilized that. And we did that with this partner who's been in our program for many years because it's enabled us to do so in a more cost-effective manner. In addition to the more cost-effective manner, there is a profit share contingency that's rather complicated that Pete can go in much deeper than I.
Yeah, I'll just touch on it briefly because we discussed this on the last call, and we haven't changed in the second quarter call, and we haven't changed the methodology. The quota share, the way the arrangement is written, basically, if we maintain the 30% loss ratio as measured against gross earned, and there are no storms for 2 years, we would recognize $32 million. We took a weighted average approach, meaning what is the percentage that what's the likelihood that we're going to achieve the AOP loss ratio? What's the likelihood of no storms? And we began accruing $14 million beginning July 1st. That $14 million is about $583,000 a month times three. You get to the 1.7. That's the methodology. It's pretty straightforward.
So okay, so you could get up to 32. You're assuming you'll get 14 conservatively.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's a lot of math there.
I know with the reinsurance or with this quota share piece, you had kind of some numbers in there where you said, okay, premiums are lower by X amount, and then, you know, it's offset by lower, lower reinsurance costs and, profit sharing, so on and so forth, to get the balance to about $400,000. The piece in there you had about a $6.1 million reduction in reinsurance costs, wouldn't that just have been an offset to earn premiums? Like if the net earned premiums were down 16.5, would that 6.1 have just been an offset to that? That shows up in ceded, or which line item in the financials can we?
That would have been ceded premium. So the 6.1 would have reduced the 16 down to 10.
Okay, so it would have just reduced it down to 10. Okay.
Right. Yes. Hey, and Ross, the other thing I wanted to add is, you know, Pete's talking about $32 million. And that's a gross number. There's offsets according to that. And if you look on our press release under the sixth bullet, it really kind of goes in more detail. So there's a benefit, but also on the other side, there's also a change of some of those expenses, including an allowance for our catastrophe reinsurance program, for acquisition of policies, and for AOP as well.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ryan Burns from Janney Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning, guys. I realize we're focusing on some numbers here, but so you guys are accruing for $14 million. So does that imply a storm? I'm just trying to figure out how we should think about the profit share.
It implies – we could talk about this offline. I don't want to get into too much of detail, but it implies a 49% likelihood of a storm over, including this year and next year. So that's what the factor is, 49%.
Gotcha. Great. Okay. And it's this year and next year. Okay, perfect. And then just wanted to get an update on where Monarch is. I realize we're probably, 2 months away, but just wanted to see, where you guys are in that process. And again, initial thoughts as to where you think you can ramp that up next year.
The application's in with the Florida OIR, and it's pending. I'm actually going to be in Tallahassee on Monday to meet with the department. Nothing really new to report. The application's in. There's the customary Q&A back and forth, which is well underway. And then also we've already filed rates, rules, and forms. We're progressing with loading it in software, things like that. We clearly have a demand for the product from our agents. They've asked about it. We're shooting for January 1. I think January 1 might be an aggressive date. I'd like to see this launched in the first quarter, but nothing really new to report. No issues at this time, and we'll keep moving forward.
I just want to make sure I understand the timeline. So you need to meet with the Florida OIR, and that's the only real that's the last step for you guys. And I'm just trying to figure out a timeline for that response from them.
Well, the regulatory process, they have to not only give us what's called a certificate of authority, but also rates, rules, and forms need to be approved. So there's a lot to that. As an admitted carrier, everything we do is receives scrutiny, and that does take time. So I don't know. I don't know when that will happen. Like I say, we were originally shooting for January 1, hopefully we can get this up and running in the first quarter, subject to approval, obviously, from the department.
Okay, great. Thanks, Chances, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Samir Khara from Capital Returns Management. Your line is open.
Good morning, guys. Great results.
Thank you. Good morning.
I just had a quick question on the loss ratio. Was there any reserve development baked in there, one way or another?
No. Just the timing of our claims and the payments that we make, but
right.
Nothing unusual.
All right, perfect. What did you guys end up with stat surplus for the quarter, and how much did you push down to the sub?
It was your question what our statutory surplus was as of 9/30?
9/30, and then how much did you guys push down to the sub as well?
We the statutory surplus is approximately $99 million, and we, as far as any transfers of money from the holding company to the insurance subsidiary, we usually do those in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
To that, Samir, we're most comfortable around 3-to-1. It appears that we may write homeowners maybe $340 million. We won't know that until the end of the year. Maybe $350 million. Yet in the other lines, maybe it's, $375. So I think there's going to be capital going in. The board will decide how much capital we want to put in. But like Pete said, we'll decide that with the closing of the fourth quarter. But clearly some capital will go in. We'll be determining that soon.
Okay. And in terms of the rate of how much you guys are writing per week, you guys have given that stat before. What are you guys at right now, and what were you guys in during third quarter?
Third quarter, we wrote approximately 40.7 of new Florida homeowners business. In the fourth quarter, the first 4 weeks here, the fourth quarter, we're averaging a little over, I would say, 3.2 to 3.3 million a week. So really no change to that. Usually the third quarter is the slowest of the quarters for writing new business, just because of the wind season and traditionally not a lot of policies expire.
Great, and I appreciate the comments on Monarch. I'm actually just curious, will they have the Advantage appointment as well, just given that you guys are running it?
That's a decision by Advantage and Allstate. There's definitely interest in it, and that will be determined by Advantage and their parent, which is Allstate. We have a very good relationship, the Federated National, with Allstate and Advantage, and I think they look very favorable on us, and we've been called a preferred partner with them. So I think that we have a very good relationship, and we're hopeful that that will occur. But those discussions won't be formal with the management of Advantage until we have a certificate of authority, if and when I should say, when we have a certificate of authority for Monarch.
Great, okay. And just lastly, in September there was a pretty negative report coming out from a rating agency called Weiss. It largely put most of the Florida homeowner companies in the same bucket. I'd just be curious of your view of how the industry, the rating agency, as well as the reinsurers, they did differentiate between the Florida companies.
Sure. I think Weiss has been pretty consistent over the years. I think it's maybe 5 or 10 years they've gone back, and I don't know that they've been positive on the industry ever. So we understand that. We do have our rating with Demotech, which is important to us, and that enables us to sell policies on homes that go through Fannie and Freddie Mac. So we're comfortable where we're at. I think we're very well capitalized. I think we have $1 billion of reinsurance. That's a tremendous amount of resources for us when a storm hits. So I think we're in a great place operationally and financially.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Samir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Doug Ruth from Lennox Financial Services.
Congratulations on the fabulous report. How is the new space that that you rented working out for you folks?
Well, we've obviously expanded. We're at about 210 staff. So obviously we've had to expand, and we've taken over another 14,500 square feet, and it's working out well. So we've got room. We've got approximately 40 to 50 workstations for continued growth as needed.
Wonderful. Could you talk about the investment portfolio and the composition a little bit?
Sure, Doug. Not much has changed in the last quarter, or not much has changed over the last year in our philosophy, which is to stay short duration. The average duration of the portfolio is about 3.73 years. We've reduced equities significantly over the last, year. We've gone from 20% to 10%. That's what equities as of September 30th, with 10% of the portfolio. And we continue to invest in high-quality, average rating, AA. We've shifted some money from taxables into some muni bonds that are tax-free bonds that are also highly rated. So really no significant change.
Okay. Could you talk a little bit about expense control and what's happening with in that area?
Yeah, I'll briefly touch on it. If you look at our expense ratio, and you consider the fact that year over year we've increased our gross written premiums by 52%. Our expense ratio, as measured against earned premiums, only gone up 1.6 points over that same period. So we continue to operate in a very lean manner, in a very efficient and effective manner.
That's wonderful. Congratulations on the report, and we're looking forward to the future.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you. Our next question comes from a line of William Mayers from Miller Asset Management. Your line is open.
Hi. I just wanted to check. It seemed like you had a great year-over-year, but then a sequential premiums written and revenue decrease. And you said that you had just said in response to a previous question that Q3 is usually the slowest quarter. But I just wanted to check if there was anything more to that than seasonality.
Well, there, in terms of writing business, we've written quite a bit of new business this year. Off the top of my head, I believe we wrote about $47 million of new business in Q1, $50 million in Q2. Those are busier quarters for us, and about $40 million, 40.7 in Q3. In terms of our whole book of business, it tends to run at about an 88% in terms of retention. So that's consistent, but obviously, specifically with analysts, this quota share is taking some time to digest for people. So that's absolutely impacting the numbers within the income statement and the balance sheet. But operationally, we're continuing to grow. We write all of our business through our partner agents in an organic, voluntary manner. We don't do any wholesale type assumption of policies from Citizens. And we have healthy demand for our product. I believe that we are a preferred carrier in the eyes of the agents, and that anytime we have a competitive quote with most any carrier in that near us, that we should get the business. So operationally, all is well in that regard. However, the quota share is leading to a lot of accounting questions, and I'm sure Pete will have his phone ringing after this call with some more questions on that as well.
Okay, and at this point, with your capital, you have plenty of capital to write the business you want to write, and that would be true for at least the near term. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we're very well positioned. As Pete said, we're at about $99 million of statutory surplus. We'll be moving capital from the holding company over to the carrier during the fourth quarter. That amount to be determined. We have a pending commitment for capital in Monarch. And the question we get frequently is, do we need more capital? We were very specific in the capital that we raised. We raised $30 million and really exhausted that with two quarters of new business, raised another $46 million, and we think we're in good shape. We were very clear, though, that we didn't want to raise too much capital because we didn't want to create a moral hazard that would create an incentive for us to write business that we would not otherwise want to write. And we wanted to have enough capital to keep doing what we're doing, have enough dry powder to do what we're doing. So to your question, I think is what you're saying is, do we need more capital? As we sit here today, the answer is no. Could that change in 3 to 6 to 9 months? Absolutely. And we're going to write voluntary business as the opportunity presents itself, and we will capitalize the company as needed.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Arash Soleimani from KBW. Your line is open.
Hey, just a couple follow-ups. And this might be something that is better to discuss offline because it's more accounting-type questions. But so looking at your ceded premiums earned as a percentage of gross premiums earned, so obviously that ticked up pretty dramatically because of the quota share. But I guess my question is, I would have thought of the quota share as, you know, starting July 1, 30% of all of your gross written goes to the quota share reinsurer, and then that flows into earned premiums sort of gradually over the next 4 quarters. But it looks like it immediately sort of hit earned premiums fully. So can you just talk about, I guess, just that accounting real quick? Was that, so I guess that was the wrong way to think of it, that it would gradually go from written to earned?
Yeah, we could talk about it offline, but basically in July, August, and September, we ceded 30% of our gross earned to our reinsurers. And, you know, if you want to call me later, we can get into the specific accounting, but if we ceded 30% of our gross earned to our quota share partners for those 3 months.
Okay, so based off that, then I'm assuming, is it fair that kind of that 58% ceded premiums earned as a percentage of gross premiums earned is like a fair run rate, roughly, or is that going to bounce around?
Well, we can discuss that offline, but I think it's hard to just look at that number because then you're not seeing the benefit of, we're also ceding 30% of our incurred losses.
Right.
So you got to look at, you can't get caught in the trap of looking at what net premiums earned is without then looking at the reduction in commission expense because of the ceded premium,
right?
Without looking at the reduction in losses because we're ceding 30% of the losses, without looking at what we're accruing for the profit share, and then without looking at what we would have spent on XOL reinsurance had we not had the quota share. So it's hard to look at any one piece separate and distinct. You got to look at the whole story. So we can go through it afterwards.
Okay, no, that's perfect. And I'm trying to see what else I had here. And then with the expense ratio, so how, like, that's 48% in the quarter. It went up, you know, only a bit year over year. Why is it that the third quarter is so much higher seasonally than, you know, the first and second quarter when you guys were running in the low 30s?
Well, a couple of reasons, and I just go through them quickly here, is last year we had a reinsurance purchase of $68 million on July 1st. And you're asking why the ratio was so low in the first and second quarter. Well, that $68 million was consistent, yet we continued to write business. So earned premium was ramping up, and the reinsurance expense was fixed at $17 million. So that makes the loss ratio lower.
Okay.
That's what makes first and second quarter better. Third quarter is always the highest expense ratio because we buy reinsurance as of our in-force premium as of September 30th. So you have 90 days of the expense in the period, but you might have wrote some of the policies or a lot of the policies on September 15th. So you'd only have 15 days of earned premium over 90 days of the expense. See what I'm saying? So the ratio will continue. Again, if we continue to grow, then the ratio is going to get lower each quarter.
So is that 40% run rate that you'd mentioned in the past still kind of a fair overall estimate going forward? Is that still your sort of target? Or not target, but, you know.
But remember, that is over total revenue. When we gave that 40%, it's over total revenue, not over just earned premium. So, yes, I do believe that the way I calculate it, we hit 38% this quarter over total revenue.
Okay, and then looking at the loss ratio, on the net loss ratio, so that went down from 50.4 last year in the third quarter to 43.8. What can you talk about some of the factors driving that?
That's really one main factor, and that's the fact that we have, Mike has purchased, we have some reinsurance on our all other apparel, you know, typical losses.
Okay.
So we carry the reserves, and we're reimbursed by our reinsurers as they're actually paid. So it's just the timing of case reserves turning into payments and then getting reimbursed.
Okay. Okay. And the gross premium growth, I think you said it was 54%. PIF growth looks like it was closer to 70%. Does that just imply that you're kind of growing outside of the Tri-County? Just assuming that Tri-County is kind of higher premiums, higher risk type policies. So,
sure.
So does the faster PIF growth imply that you're growing in other areas of the state?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, there's pressure on rate. Obviously, it's a competitive marketplace. Excuse me, but you're seeing continued growth outside of Tri-County. So when you look at the state, the map of the state, generally speaking, the farther north you go, the lower the premiums. You know, so you could have the same risk in Jacksonville priced at $500-$800 in that range, and then as you move that to South Florida, it could be a $3,000 plus risk. So that's part of it. Also, we're writing more, not only non-tri-county, but we're also writing what's called HO6s, which is condos. We're writing quite a few of those. Those are the individual units that have much lower premium, as well as we write renters units, which has very low premium, and we also write what's called a DP3, which is basically a dwelling policy that landlords have. So that has less premium on it as well. So I think you're going to see the average premium continue to drop compared to our historical averages that we've had.
All right, thanks. And lastly, I know, you know, there have been some announcements of, you know, other players getting into the commercial residential space. What are your thoughts on that space and any interest on your part?
We've been in that space, and we vacated it. Don't see the opportunity there. It's extremely – commercial has an extremely low AOP. So your all other peril, we experienced, I think it was 2%, 3%, 4%. It's incredible. My concern on that is when a storm hits. It works great as long as there's no storms, but really reinsuring it can be tricky. You know, we had, I think it was over 70% of premium on reinsurance, and we still just couldn't get our head around making sure that we had enough reinsurance on that structure. So we're not in that space.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ross.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a brief reminder, you can queue up for a question with star, then one. If your question has been answered or if you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound key. And just one moment, please, while we wait for more callers.
Well, we'll wrap it up unless another caller dials in here in a moment or so. But I want to thank everyone for their support. We continue to do what we do, which is we have incredible people, 210 people that work for the company, that I think provide exceptional service to our partner agents and to our insurers. That will continue. I think it's well received in the marketplace with our agents, and that's why you're seeing continued growth in our business. So really, we're just staying the course in what we do. So obviously, Pete and I are available for calls afterwards. I know the quota share has generated a lot of questions, some of them rather granular, and Pete will be happy to go in as deep as anyone would like if they'd like to give him a call, and I am always available as well. So with that, I don't believe we have any other questions.
No other questions in the queue.
All right, thank you. We'll go ahead and wrap up the call. Everyone have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This now concludes the program, and you may all disconnect. Everyone have a great day.